Dear congregation, tonight I would like to preach on Psalm 121. And the theme for this midweek service or sermon is the keeper on our way to heavenly Jerusalem. And that keeper is, of course, God. So the theme is the keeper on our way to heavenly Jerusalem. Psalm 121. I think you will agree with me that it is a really beautiful psalm. It is full of comfort, encouragement, and full of promises and blessings from the hand of the Lord himself. Listen to these last two verses and hear the blessing of the Lord promised there. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve or keep thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Maybe you have read these words of Psalm 121 when you really wanted to comfort someone. Or you yourself, you needed comfort. And you read these words and they lifted you up out of your misery and your afflictions. Maybe you were downcasted. And this psalm lifts us up out of that miry pit of our afflictions. And it shows us the Lord and who he is and what we have in him. But every Bible passage should be interpreted in the light of its context. Of course, right? That's the rule of exegesis, that if we read a certain passage or text, we also read the surrounding text or passages, and that whole Bible book, and even the whole Bible, and we take that all with us to interpret a certain Bible passage. Well, that same rule applies to the Psalms. Maybe we treat the Psalms as individual Psalms, individual portions of Scriptures, but that's wrong. Well, you can do that at times, but we have 150 Psalms. The Psalms were written by many authors, 75 of them by David, a few by Solomon, but by many others, in a period of over a couple of hundred years. And only later, all these 150 Psalms, written in a time span of a couple of hundred years, were put together in the book of Psalms. That's what other people did later on in the history of the people of Israel. And the Holy Spirit enlightened these people who put these 150 individual Psalms in the book of Psalms, and they did so in a certain order. So that order is important. That's why when you interpret a psalm, always should look to the previous psalm and to the next psalm and even the wider context, because you can divide the book of Psalms in five books. Well, we should pay attention to that. And I think you know, because you all are, most of you, grown up by the Bible and you know a lot about the Bible, you probably know that Psalm 121 is part of a group of psalms, and they begin in Psalm 120, and that group of psalms end in 134. We call these psalms, it's written above the psalms, a song of decrees. Decrees in terms of ascending, going up. In Hebrew, it is written above these 15 psalms, 120 through 134, Ha Ma'alot. Ha is the, and Ma'alot comes from a verb, Allah, which means go up, go up. So literally translated, it says the going up. So in the English version, it is translated as a song of decrease. In other translations, you could read titles as a psalm of ascension. Well, that's all possible. Maybe you know already something about the historical background of these 15 psalms. Again, they were written, also these 15, by the way, by different authors. Maybe you could take some time later on this week to read these 15 psalms, and you will come across David and Solomon and other authors, unknown, for us unknown authors. So there are at least three authors, and they lived in different times. Probably they came together here in the book of Psalms, and probably later in time, the psalms were sung by the pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem for the three great feasts. Three times a year, you know that, from all over Israel, the people of Israel traveled to Jerusalem to the temple for the great three feasts. And probably, because you can read this in the Mishnah, Jewish writings, these pilgrims sung underway while traveling these 15 psalms. Well, that's a beautiful picture and very well possible. I think it is very well possible because if you read, by example, Psalm 122, and you read verses 3 and 4, you read 122, 3 and 4, you see the pilgrims before you. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, and there you have the pilgrims, the tribes of the Lord unto the testimony of Israel, the temple, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Well, you see it depicted before your eyes in Psalm 122. Indeed, most probably all these pilgrims, they sung together there, traveling to Jerusalem, these 15 psalms. And of course, that could be a reason that the psalms are called psalms of ascend, because Jerusalem is built on an hill, and the temple is on the highest portion of that hill, the top of that hill. There is another historical background. Again, according to Jewish writings, again in the Mishnah, these 15 psalms, they were sung by a Levitical choir in the temple. Maybe you know a little bit about the temple, but you had the women's court, outer court, and the court for the people of Israel, or the priestly court, that's the inner court. And between these two courts, there was a kind of stairs, an ascent. And that ascent had 15 steps. You went up for 22 feet. That's 1.5 feet for every step. High steps, really high steps. Well, in the Mishnah, you can read that on these 15 steps, there stood Levitical choir. These Levites, they stood on these steps, and they sung these 15 psalms. Well, according to the Mishnah, so very well possible. Another, and that's the last historical background, also according to Jewish sources, is that these 15 psalms were sung by the exiles who went back from Babylonia and Assyria, and they went back to Israel. And underway, They were full of longing to go back to Jerusalem and to the temple. And they sang these 15 psalms. Well, you can read it actually. I think indeed these exiles, they have sung these psalms, because read in Psalm 126, verse 1. 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, the exile, we were like them that dreamt. Well, you see, so all these traditions, there's probably some truth in it. But isn't life a journey? Why would we focus so much on that historical background? These psalms are also written for us in the 21st century. And let's be honest, life is a journey from cradle to grave, from birth to death. This life is a journey in preparation for our eternal destination. It is a preparation. And for every believer, every true Christian, this life is also not only a journey, it's for everybody a journey, but for every true believer, life is an ascent. It is a going up. Not literally. We grow older, we become weaker. That's not a going up, that's a going down. We go down to the grave. But for every believer, and I hope you recognize it, life is in a certain way and going up, a spiritual going up. It is an ascend. It is going from degree to degree. It is a going up. Why? Where do we come for as believers? Once we know Christ, we came out of the world, that miry pit of sin, and we were called to leave the world and to leave the sin, and to live in faith and holiness and travel to that heavenly Jerusalem. Isn't that a going up? Yes, it is. We were called to be stranger in the world and going up to that heavenly Jerusalem. We were called to follow our Savior Jesus Christ and increase in knowledge, righteousness, holiness, faith, day by day. To go from strength to strength and to learn every day more about ourselves and about our precious Lord Jesus Christ. And the traveling here, oh, it's indeed an almost a desert travel. And we meet trials and tests and afflictions and tribulations. But through all this affliction and misery and tribulations, every true believer will grow day by day in the knowledge of the Lord, the triune God, and the knowledge of sin, and the knowledge of salvation, and will grow in living out of thankfulness and gratefulness, will long more and more, day after day, more and more, after that heavenly Jerusalem. Indeed, from spiritual point of view, life is an ascension. It was already like that in the Old Testament. Hebrew, I read it for you, Hebrew 11. Very well-known text. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, which builder and maker is God. There you have this spiritual ascend. Indeed. Our journey of life should indeed be an ascend from spiritual point of your from unbelief to that assurance of faith in Jesus Christ. I know He is my Savior. From sin and slavery to be in Christ, in His holiness, in His righteousness. That's an ascent. And let's not forget what we hear in Hebrews 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again with the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. What a warning! There should be a spiritual ascend. There should be. It is good that we take some time and to reflect on our journey through this earthly desert. Is there indeed a spiritual ascend, or is there spiritual stagnation? For when there is spiritual stagnation, there is in the end spiritual decline. Let's do some heart-searching work here. Well, these 15 Psalms are meant to lift us up and to guide us through our earthly travel. Well, even now, after this introduction, I still can't explain to you Psalm 121. Because I just gave you the wider context of the 15 Psalms of degrees, ascent, Hama'alot. But the Psalms of Hama'alot start with Psalm 120. And actually, read it at home. You should read tonight, before you go to bed, read 120. 121, 122. It's so beautiful to read all three together. I didn't ask tonight from the elder to do that because it's a little bit long, but try to do it tonight. Within these 15 Psalms, these first three are a group again. And 120 gives us a picture of the world around us, the world through which we travel. I'll tell you some little bit more about it. That's 120. 121 tells us there is the Lord who preserves all His children on the journey. So they travel through the world. And the world is depicted before our eyes in 120. 121, the Lord preserves all these pilgrims. And then 122. And we see the arrival in the heavenly Jerusalem. And we enter through the gates, that heavenly Jerusalem and the temple with the Lord, with many other people. Not alone. No. With a church of all times and all places. Oh, the joy there in 122. You see, these three Psalms, the beginning of our life, the progress in our life, and the end. Well, let's take some time for 120 shortly. Psalm 120 gives us a picture of the world in which we live and the difficulties this world presents for us as Christians. Because again, we are not at home here. We are strangers. Are we, by the way? Are we indeed strangers? Are we indeed pilgrims? I'm afraid, and just look to myself, that we often feel so at home here. But our home, if you know Christ, our home is in heaven and not here. And we will experience, no doubt about it, difficulties in this earthly life. Many difficulties. Often in life, it is the cry from Psalm 120, verse 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord. Here is this pilgrim. And he cried before in his life. And he says, and the Lord heard me. He cried out for help in this world as a stranger on his journey to heavenly Jerusalem. But that distress never goes away. Oh, it's not always there present, but in a certain way, it will always stay with us, travel with us. And so we read in verse 2. So in verse 1, he looked back in his life. In my distress, I cried. And then verse 2. Deliver my soul now in the present, O Lord, from lying lips, from the deceitful tongue. And again in verse 3, in the end of verse 3, he speaks about false tongues. You know what a problem is of every pilgrim, every child of the Lord, every believer, everyone who is bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that we are surrounded by falsehood, by deceit, by lies, by vanity. The world is only, in its core, only deceit, only falsity. Why? In this world, it is a fallen world. And the prince of this world is the prince of darkness. And in this world in which we live, which we travel through on the way to heavenly Jerusalem, in this world, there is no place for truth and peace and righteousness and holiness. Because this world turned her back to the Lord. And we were driven out of paradise. And the prince of deceit, Satan, is the king of this world. There is no place for truth and peace. There is no place for God and his world. The world around us is filled with the lies of the great deceiver. And everyone who is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and who believes in Jesus Christ and is truly a witness of him in word and deed, will receive his enmity and hostility. There is no other way. Faith in Jesus Christ is okay. The world will leave you at rest as long as you keep the faith in your home, in your private life. But as soon as you begin to live as a Christian and become a witness of Jesus Christ, the world will show her enmity and hostility. The Bible is full of that. This is the reality of our world. This is the complaint of Psalm 120. Deliver my soul, and in my soul is peace and truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver my soul, full of peace and truth, from the lying lips of this world, from a deceitful tongue. The psalmist is surrounded by deceit and falsity. And it's not only this, but because we live in a world of lies and deceit, we are surrounded by temptations and sin. And we are weak. So we cry out in our distress, deliver my soul, because I'm surrounded by deceit. I am weak. I have no strength to withstand all these temptations. I am weak. Lord, help me. So many temptations around me and sin around me. This psalmist is indeed a pilgrim. This is a picture of every believer. Oh, and he says in verse 5, woe is me that I sojourned in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Mesech is in present-day Turkey. Kedar is in Arabia. But he says, wherever I am in this world, north, south, wherever I am surrounded by deceit and falsehood and sin and misery. Lord, deliver me. Help me. I have no strength. Where to flee? Where to go? Will I succeed and indeed reach heavenly Jerusalem? Will I arrive there? This is the Christian in Psalm 120, and he cries out in verse 7, I am for peace. I want to show the love of Christ to the people around me. I am. It says literally in Hebrew, I peace. I am peace, because Christ lives in his heart, right? And I want to show that peace and love to the world around me. But what do I find? When I speak, they are for war. Because it upsets them, the gospel news. Because it exposes them as sinners. Well, that's Psalm 120. And 120, yes. It's the beginning of that journey. It is the experience of a journey through life to heavenly Jerusalem. And then we come to Psalm 121. I'm not going to give you all the details. It will be short tonight. You can later on meditate upon it at home. But if this is our situation in life, surrounded by sin, misery, deceit, and we are weak, and there is no strength for us, yet we are longing to arrive there in that heavenly Jerusalem to be with our Lord. Where to get help? Where to get help? 121 verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? And please understand, there are many hills and mountains in the world. Back in these old days, in the Old Testament, always, you know, many times, the temples for these idols were on tops of mountains. And mountaintops were supposed to be the houses of idols. The temptation is so big to expect our help from idols. There are so many idols around us. There is the idol of money. Right? You fill it in. There are so many idols. And what is the first thing we do when we are in need and in distress and in affliction and tribulation? We flee to all these idols. Well, says the psalmist here, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And he means the hills around Jerusalem. These hills. Whence cometh my help? My help is from the Lord alone. In the end, my help is from Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. How could I expect anything from idols? That's impossible. They are nothing than materials. They are formed on the base of constructs of our mind. They are nothing, they are vanity. No, let us look up to that hill where the Lord is seated, to that heavenly Jerusalem, to Jesus Christ, seated on the right hand of his heavenly Father. From there cometh my help. In verse 1, the pilgrim takes his binoculars, the binoculars of faith, and he puts them before his eyes. And he looks longingly with the binoculars of faith to the heavenly Jerusalem. And he sees the gates, 12 gates at four sides, north, east, south, and west. And he sees all the pilgrims who have arrived there already, and the pilgrims underway. And he sees Jesus Christ sitting there as the Lamb of God. And it gives him courage to push on, to reach that heavenly Jerusalem. My help is from the hills. And then we come in verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, the covenant God. And we realize, most of us, maybe all of us, were baptized once. The Lord set us apart, and he sealed his promises to me. And he is trustworthy, he is faithful. I look to the Lord, my covenant God. I don't expect anything for myself, not from idols, but I expect all from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. That's a comfort. He created heaven and earth. In other words, the one who created heaven and earth and still upholds that earth is the legitimate ruler of the world, the legitimate king. He's the sovereign one. Everything in this world and everybody is under his rule. He's the sovereign one. And in his providence, he leads everything. What a comfort. My help comes from the Lord, that covenant God, who came so close to me that he sealed his promises to me personally. And that God who came so nearby in his promises, that God made heaven and earth. What a comfort that is. Where should we go in our spiritual struggles? Then to the Lord. Let us not expect help from others or from anything in the world. Let us expect all from the Lord. And then the tone of Psalm 121 changes. In the first two verses, it is in the first person, right? I, first person, will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And then verses 3 to 8, they are in the third person. He. It could be that here is a pilgrim, and next to him a teacher or a priest or a Levite, and he is instructing this pilgrim. Could be. Or it is a friend of you, one who travels with you through life. And in verses 3 to 8, he is the one who encourages you and comforts you. Very well possible. Or it are just the internal voices, like in Psalm 42, right? You have that same voice. I cry out to the Lord, and he, there is that same double tone in Psalm 42, where we read, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? So the psalmist speaks to himself. So maybe that's what's happening in Psalm 121. We don't know. Could be. So from verse 3, let's read there. We read there, he, that's the Lord, who made heaven and earth, will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. In the English, but it's the same in the Dutch translation, it's not so clear. But when you read it in Hebrew, it is very clear that verse 3 is a desire. It is a longing. It is an expectation. It is the desire, O Lord, please. It is the desire that you will keep my foot. Please, Lord, that you will not slumber. Please, Lord, it is an expectation. It is a desire. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, says the psalmist to himself. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Why is this his desire? That the Lord will not slumber and that the Lord will take care of his food, that he will not slide and fall. Because he knows himself. He knows I am apt to slide, to fall. There is in me no strength to fight against the temptations. I am weak. I have no strength. And I am the one who slumbers time and again. This world consumes so much of our time, so much, that often spiritually we slumber and we fall asleep. That's what's happening. And this psalmist knows that. He knows himself. And then he says, Lord, I can trust myself. I have no strength. I am the one who slumbers and sleeps. Oh, please, Lord, all my desire is that you will not slumber and sleep like I do. And that you will show your strengths, because in me there is only weakness. That's the desire here. And then we read the answer in verse 4. After the desire in verse 3, verse 4, behold. Behold! You hear the answer, right? The response. You can trust on it. You can bet on it. Behold, he that keepeth Israel, and that's the Lord, shall neither slumber nor sleep. You read the same thing in Romans 10. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah, we can trust the Lord. And so we come in verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. We continue on verse 6. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord is the one who keeps you. He guards you. He preserves you. It's the Lord. Expect all from him. Why does it speak here about the shade upon the right hand, and the sun which will not smite by day, and the moon by night? Did you ever see a moon smite you by night? Has the moon that power? Well, you shouldn't take these verses too literally. You should take them spiritually. You know what he is telling here? He says, Lord, you know that sometimes my life is like a walk in bright daylight. And there is prosperity. And I have everything in my life. Oh, but then I should be so careful. Because when I have everything in life and I have prosperity, and I feel strong and wise, and there are no troubles and no afflictions, then I should be afraid. Because then there are no walls and no borders between me and the world, and me and the sin and the temptations, and the fiery arrows of Satan will come. Oh, and how will I stand up against them? So actually he says here, the Lord will come with shade when you live in prosperity and you have no afflictions. And he will diminish the glare of the so-called beauties of the world, that they will not blind us. That's the power of the world, right? Especially in times of prosperity, that the world blinds us. And then the Lord comes with his mighty hand, and he diminishes that light, that we are no longer blinded by the world, but that we focus on the Lord. And he does the same in the night of our life, in the midst of adversity and afflictions, when we feel downcast. And when there is misfortune in our life, you know what he will do then? He will sustain us in the midst of that misery. And he will give peace. And he will gently dispel the gloom of sorrow in that great darkness. That's the Lord. Well, that's verse 5 and 6. What a beautiful prayer, right? Lord, keep me with thee in times of prosperity. And keep me in times of adversity and affliction. Lord, help me in all life's circumstances. And he knows the Lord will do that. He's certain about it. And then the psalm ends, verse 7 and 8, with beautiful promises and blessings. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. Again and again, the Lord shall preserve, the Lord shall keep you, the Lord shall maintain you, the Lord shall guide you. Well, whoever has been bought by Jesus' precious blood will safely arrive in heavenly Jerusalem. No doubt about it. You're firmly in his hand. Whatever life brings, if it goes through the night of affliction, the son of prosperity, he will take care that once you travel through that earthly desert, surrounded by sin, misery, deceit, falsehood, idols, that you will arrive in heavenly Jerusalem. John 17. We hear that Jesus praying, I pray, not that thou shouldest take Providence Reformed Church and all her members out of the world. No, please, continue on that travel, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Oh, that evil is so strong, and I'm so weak, and the Lord knew it. They are not of the world, because that world is empty, vain, deceit, lie. Even as I am not of the world, sanctify them to the truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We should go out. We have a message for the world. And for their sake sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. None of Christ's sheep, God's sheep, will be lost. None of his flock will be lost. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, so I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You see the same reality, surrounded by enemies. But the Lord is the great preserver. And so we end indeed in verse 8. The Lord shall preserve. They're going out, they're coming in from this time forth. And evermore. When we keep our eyes on our Savior, Jesus Christ, you can be sure that your life, although it will go through sun and night, through the midst of sin and an empty world, it will be a life of ascent, from strength to strength, from faith to that assurance of faith, to a daily mortification of sins. He will ensure it. It's not in our strength, because we are weak. It is in his strength. It will be a continual ascension out of sin and misery until we arrive safely in that heavenly Jerusalem. But it is all in and through him. And indeed, it goes through afflictions and tribulations and trials, indeed. But they are needed, because you will arrive there, how? Steeled, refined by the trials and tribulations of this earthly life. The question at the end is, will we be there? Will I be there? Will you be there? The great question is, who is that Christ for you? Are you a stranger here, expecting all from Christ who brought you with his precious blood? Or are you still living for the idols of the world, in the grip of deceit and falsehood? Or do you know the truth? And do you walk on that way of truth to the heavenly Jerusalem and expect all from that great shepherd? And you will arrive there safely. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. What a gift it is. Lord, especially, we thank thee especially for the Psalms of Ascent. The Shir HaMa'alot. What a rich gift. These 15 Psalms, they accompany us on our journey through this earthly desert, in a world of vanity and deceit, falsehood, sin, in a world wherein we meet enmity and affliction, in a world where we have no strength to press on, but Lord, we look upwards to heaven, to that holy mountain where thy Son is seated. And we expect all from thee, O triune God. Lord, bless our word, that we may indeed flee to Christ and expect all from him. We pray especially for them in difficult circumstances. Lord, and we lay them in your hand, especially them in our midst or at home, with part of Providence Reformed Church, this flock, who are traveling in difficult circumstances. Lord, uphold them according to thy word. Lord, hear our prayer in the name of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive our sins and bless thy word. Amen. We will sing again Psalm 121. And we'll do that with the words of Psalter 347. Psalter 347. And we'll sing the last two stanzas, 3 and 4. The watchful care of God. Psalter 347, stanzas 3 and 4. Lift up your heart to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.